Hello everybody and welcome to this new episode. My name is Sarah and this is Amsterdamers, the podcast that introduces you to amazing women from Amsterdam. Sadly, IT is still a field where women are underrepresented for multiple reasons. But there's a woman who wants to change that. After graduating from a coding bootcamp herself in 2017, she founded Café Robot that aims to be a little different to your usual tech community. Welcome, Valerie Fuchs. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Could you please explain to us what is Café Robot?
Of course. So Café Robot is the first non-awkward computer club. And what it is about is that it's a community for code newbies and wannabe tech hobbyists that I started in 2018. Café Robot is an inclusive, welcoming and fun space where I want to let people slide into coding and help them to get a foot into the industry. And it is also a space to promote and embrace failspiration, to show that not everything always runs smoothly when you learn something new and that it's also totally okay to fail. One concept that I find really important with everything I do with Café Robot is what I call snicksplaining. And that really stands for explaining things by using food references, because Café Robot is a cafe where we learn about coding. So any kind of classes and course material that I create has to do a lot with food, and I use food to explain coding in any way I can. And I also have a mascot, which is a computer worm called Codette that is dressed up like a chef. So we do a lot of fun stuff to take away the intimidation of learning how to code.
I think you have just thrown a lot of information at us.
Yes.
Maybe break it down a little bit. So what exactly are the classes and workshops that you offer and how long do they take?
I do offer different types of classes. On one hand, I collaborate with different universities, for example, Hyper Island and Stockholm. And on the other hand, I also do courses that I organize myself or that I can be booked for by companies to run with their teams. When I teach classes for universities, I teach topics from how to build a full stack application to something that I call Planet Future, which is about how to get a foot into the industry and shape your professional path. And those courses can take anything from a couple of hours to several weeks. So those are the really big courses that I used to teach. And then on the other hand, if you want to run a class with me to get a foot into coding, that is a class that I call Code Cuisine, where I dress up as a chef. And that one takes 2 hours.
How did you come up with the idea? Not necessarily the dressing up as a chef, more Café Robot in general.
Maybe it's helpful to talk a bit about my personal background, because I have not always been a web developer, and I transitioned into the industry and into that profession in my early 30s. Back then, I started a coding class on the side as a hobby, and I liked it so much that I decided that I want to dedicate my entire career to it. And naturally, I thought it would be a good idea to attend a lot of meetups, tech meetups, conferences, to really get to know the people that work in the profession and to get a foot into the industry. And one thing that I noticed when I went to all those meetups and conferences was that they all felt sort of the same, and I just didn't feel really welcome and not really like I would fit in. Yeah. The reason for that is that I came from a marketing profession before where we used to talk a lot, and a lot was about networking and public relations, and was a profession that was very much about communication and being around people. when I then stepped into the industry of IT, it suddenly felt a bit like a culture shock, and those meetups felt sort of boring and unimaginative compared to the previous industry events that I used to attend. So I decided for myself that I need a new space, and that I need a space that is more fun and more innovative and interesting than that, and especially catered for code newbies. And I decided to create that space by myself.
I think you have just given me some flashbacks back to my time in high school, because you said the word unwelcome. And I remember I chose coding classes during the last 3 years of high school, and I was the only female person there. And it was just such a weird atmosphere. The teacher was not necessarily friendly in general, and he just kind of assumed that all of the guys knew what to do, and some of them did and some of them didn't. But they just left it sitting there in front of the computer, didn't explain a single thing. And I also have to admit, I was not there very often. But I remember when we had one special coding language that we all had to learn anew, I was actually really good at it because we all started from scratch and someone finally explained it to me. But these 2 years were just really, really awkward.
Yeah, I can very much relate to it. Any kind of computer classes that I attended in school felt like it wasn't for me either. In school, I struggled quite a lot with maths and physics in general. And the computer classes we had to sit down and do some boring calculations in Excel, and I couldn't connect to it at all. And it just didn't feel like anything for me. So I think that there is a big mission, but also potential to improve the way that young adults and kids are being introduced to computer programming.
I have to admit, your approach really works for me, because I played that little game on your website. Dear listeners, there is a little game where you have to move a colorful bubble into a certain ring, I think. So you have to change the parameter to change the position of the bubble. And it got me so excited because I was really good at it, actually. It was probably just baby basics, but it definitely worked for me.
That's exactly what I wanted to do with the game. I wanted to show that it's really easy to get into it and change a couple of values, and that you eventually won't break anything. And I hope that it encourages some people who visit the site.
Well, I wasn't worried that I will break anything until it was mentioned on the website.
That's good.
So in your introduction of Cafe Robot, you said it's the first non-awkward computer club. And I also use this word for the coding classes that I had. Do you think that computer clubs or classes like this are usually awkward?
At least from my experience, I think there is quite some awkwardness in the space, which also comes with maybe people being intimidated by the subject itself, being a bit scared that they won't be able to succeed, like we were just sharing our opinions. And I think that there are exercises and challenges that get introduced in those classes that are maybe not interesting for everyone, as we just shared our ideas of that. So I think that the twist there could be to think about different learning types, and not everyone learns by looking at numbers or solving a math exercise with code, but maybe it would be more interesting to learn coding by visual cues, which is exactly what I did on my website with a game. And that is basically the entire idea of an entire area of coding that is called creative coding.
Do you think that the way that it's taught or presented is just very male-focused? Like, is this a gender thing, or what do you think?
If I speak about computer clubs at school, and again, I never attended one, I just saw it from the outside, I would say it is just unimaginative. So I don't necessarily see the male angle in that one to be the dominant reason of why it's not super interesting. However, if you see a computer club that is full of boys, then maybe you feel like you can't belong there and it's not nothing you could ever learn.
Do you think that, generally speaking, toxic masculinity is something that you come across in IT?
So I think that there is a certain idea that is very prominent in the tech industry, and that is the idea of the genius computer nerd. Mostly when you close your eyes and think about a computer nerd, you think about a guy with glasses, a white guy with glasses that picks up everything naturally and just knows what to do. And in the more recent iteration of that idea, there is a certain profile of a computer programmer that is called a brogrammer, which stands for computer programmers who are very opinionated and have this gym attitude for coding, very competitive as well. So both that idea of the nerd and the programmer, in my opinion, leads to one of the big problems in IT, which is that there is a huge presence of imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome stands for the idea that you're actually not worth your job title, that you will be found out to be a fraud at some day. And that is a phenomena that I came across first when I was teaching front-end students at university, when they told me about how they are worried to be good enough for the industry. But then I dug a bit deeper into it and did some research around it and realized that it's a problem that is very fast spread, and it doesn't actually matter how many years of experience you have. There are people with 35 years of experience that still feel like an imposter.
Why do you think that is? Is there a strong elbow mentality, or is there a strong hierarchy that somebody gives them this feeling, or how does this occur?
I wouldn't say either. I think it's just the idea that coding and knowing how to program a computer is a natural talent, and that if you don't get things right away in a profession where you constantly need to learn new tech, new libraries, and so on, you feel like you are not good enough. So I think that people try to live up to this genius image, and then also don't share their struggles with learning and actually the story behind their success. So then it becomes a bit of a vicious cycle where everything you hear about is just people being extremely successful, and you feel very upset if you don't understand and learn new tech and new topics as fast as those other people.
One thing that came to my mind when you talked about that genius type was that TV series, The Big Bang Theory. You probably know that one.
Yes, the IT Club, Big Bang Theory. There are so many of those shows. Silicon Valley, they are the same kind of people.
I have to admit, I have only seen the Big Bang Theory parts of it, not the entire thing. And from what I recall, they're not programmers, are they?
Yeah, they are scientists.
Right. And they're also not super strong when it comes to social skills. I assume that's also a big cliche in that industry, right?
Yes, I think, again, there is a stereotype that includes those characteristics and is maybe more open to tolerate poorish communication skills in exchange to a very good skill set and great computer programming skills. But I do think that this is changing. It is just very deeply rooted and shows up in lots of different ways. If you look into what companies use on LinkedIn as their imagery, what happens when you Google the word nerd, what you see when you look for a GIF that has the word nerd. There are just so many different areas where this genius nerd image is still alive that I think there is quite some challenge for us to change it.
Would you be able to describe, with all the factors that you have just explained, what kind of working environment that creates for men and women in general?
I guess if you live in a industry where you think you need to understand things very quickly and that you need to be highly skilled in many things, it makes you feel maybe more worried about asking for help, especially as a person who just enters the industry, who just starts off after university. So asking for help can become a big challenge, which then slows down professional development and growth. And I think it generally can lead to people feeling a bit more disconnected with their team members. On the other hand, there's also still quite some culture around boys clubs giving each other influential opportunities. And in general, also just this picture of the genius nerd that we just spoke about, just being constantly promoted and then attracting the same idea of who's getting hired or who companies are looking for. But again, I see a lot of change and a lot of initiatives by big tech companies to change it. So there is some hope inside.
We both said in the beginning that we felt unwelcome in clubs or classes. What is your personal experience now? Because you switched careers, you did not work in this field your entire professional life. So you had to be a newcomer. You were a rookie at some point. What was the reaction of people that you were teaching them how to code, you were giving classes, and you're female? What was that like?
On one hand, if I speak about my own professional experience working as a web developer, I really must say that I was lucky. I think in my entire 5 years of career now in this profession, I have had the impression that I was welcome in the teams that I worked for. I also had the impression that the male engineers, web developers, really wanted to have more women on board. So there was a very big need that was voiced and that was very clearly communicated, and also actively tried to fix by hiring more female engineers. So there was a big awareness about this. However, the result of it could still be better. There can definitely be more women who come and join the big companies, the small companies, no matter which size, and add more diversity to the different teams. When I teach classes at university, I generally feel that the reactions are also pretty positive. I do mainly run classes at Hyper Island, which is a university that is based in Stockholm. And I am very excited to see every year the classes that are rolling in being more and more dominated by women. So there is a very nice growth in female front-end engineer students, and it's super nice to see.
In addition to that, what are things that you would like to change in the IT industry?
First of all, I would like equal pay. That would be probably the biggest box. And after that, more awareness on the fact that engineers, computer programmers, web developers can have many faces and can look very differently from, again, the white nerd stereotype. So if I go back to the examples I mentioned earlier, I want to see more job ads with people being pictured that are not those white guys. I want to see more diversity on LinkedIn posts about the topic. I want to see it on company websites. I want to see the Giphys. I want to see more representation in film and TV, and just get a broader image of what you look like when you are a coder. And furthermore, I think that we can really benefit from more transparency about our processes, the process behind our success. Like I said, the failspiration is still a big topic, which I think we can learn from a lot. And then lastly, I think there is still a bit of an idea of computer programmers sitting in the ivory tower, being very exclusive, very, very knowledgeable and almost unapproachable. And I think it would be nice if there was more focus on collaboration with other disciplines like design and marketing and so on, because those disciplines grow together more and more. And there are more software products, for example, where you can code and then design. And I think it's just a very short-sighted idea to think that you are going to be on this, yeah, in this ivory tower and just nerd around by yourself.
Do you have a personal favorite story of a person that came to Café Robot?
Yes, in general, I always love hearing from anyone who got in touch with what I do with any of my classes, because especially with running a lot of remote classes and also chatting with people on social media, it's always a super nice thing to hear and get a personal message and hear where the journey went. One particular story I like to remember is that during one of my classes at Hyper Island, I spoke about all the great women that were influential in computing, like, for example, Grace Hopper and Ada Lovelace. And then months later, I read in a post of a female student that she used those role models to keep her going during the difficult studies. So whenever she struggled, she thought back at these great women and their achievements, and it made her keep going. That was really nice.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
So if you had the chance to give some sort of mini motivational speech to women that are now listening and that feel like, maybe I can do that, but I'm not sure, like, what would you say to them?
I'm really a strong believer in the idea that skills can be learned. And you are not born with certain skills to be good at a certain thing. So I really believe that most skills can be learned and that you can do it in general. So when you speak about the world of coding and programming, there are a lot of courses online, free resources out there that can help you to get started. And the thing that I'm also really keen on emphasizing is that it just takes a while. It's not, learning how to code is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's something that takes time and dedication. And also people have different ways of consuming information and learning. So it could, there will always be someone who gets something faster than you. Totally do it. Be patient with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others, just compare yourself with yourself yesterday and find a way to learn that you like. There are many different ways to learn how to code. Is it the YouTube tutorial? Is it a coding bootcamp? Is it to read a book? Is it to have a learning group? So I think, again, it's a lot about the personal learning style that is important to consider.
And also, for my very limited knowledge of coding, I have seen a friend of mine who works in IT always Google stuff. So you don't have to know everything. You just need to know where you find the information, because he literally did the same thing.
Yes, 100%. I think Googling is probably 80% of my job. And that is funny that you mention it, because I also had a student asking me the same question and feeling bad about the fact that they needed to Google everything. However, the one thing that is great about the industry is that people always share their learnings, and there is a lot of standing on the shoulders of giants. So the internet is full of platforms and communities that share their struggles with certain technology libraries and help out each other.
How can people get involved with Café Robot?
To stay in the loop of what Café Robot does, you can follow me on Instagram at madam_robot. And I also have a newsletter that you can subscribe to, and you can find that on my website, café-robot.co. And I will share any new courses, any new upcoming activities on my newsletter.
Dear listeners, all the information will also be put in the show notes. So if you didn't quite catch that yet, you can just check it out later. I will post everything there. What are your plans for the future? What happens next?
I always have many ideas. So there are probably things in the pipeline that I don't know about myself. But for now, I really want to focus on the aspect of networking. earlier I spoke about the idea of boys clubs, and I somehow want to create a girls club or a women's ladies club where we share opportunities, professional opportunities, and help out each other. Next to Cafe Robot, I am running a community called Female Freelance Developers, and I already set up a Slack channel where everyone on that list can talk to each other and help each other out. But I really want to grow this and organize a meetup in person and see where this can take us. Another thing that I keep on doing is design and facilitating with designing courses and programs at Hyper Island in Sweden. And then we will see what happens next.
How can people support you and your project?
I'd say if you want to support Cafe Robot, you can check out what I do on Instagram. Two recent initiatives that might be interesting to share the word about is my website called tech-imposters.com, where we have around 60 crowdsources, anonymous confessions of people working in the tech industry that feel like they are not good enough, which is really fun to read. And another recent project is that I have done a salary report for female freelance developers in Europe and in the US. And that could be also really interesting to share with anyone whom you know who works in the profession so that they can crank up their rates potentially.
Valerie Fuchs, thank you very much and good luck with everything.
Thanks for having me.
And this also marks the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Stay tuned if you want to meet more amazing women from Amsterdam. And please don't forget to follow Amsterdamers on Instagram and on Facebook. Thanks and take care, everybody. Bye.